So by now, I'm sure you've all noticed this amazing giant tub over here, this beautifully constructed wood that's on theme. I love it. It's beautiful. I'm excited about it. We've had such a cold winter. We thought, let's celebrate spring and summer. What can we do? We'll build a giant pool and put it in the sanctuary. No, it's even better than that. That pool was built today because 8 people in our community are getting baptized. Amen, right? And that's worth rejoicing and being thankful for. Before we hop in the tub, we're going to look at and consider some words of Jesus. These are the last words Jesus gives to his followers in the book of Matthew. And he gives the church its mission in these few concise and clear words. All of us today need to hear these words, need to remember them, need to keep them with us, both now and in the days ahead. For those of you who are getting baptized, these are the perfect words to hear. You will hear what your mission is now as someone who follows Jesus. For all of us who've been following for a few months or a few years or for 20 or 30 or 40 years, these are the words we can never lose sight of, because in these words of Jesus, we get our mission. And if we forget that, we fail to be God's church. We fail to be God's people. So we need to hear these words. And if you're new today and unsure of what you believe or uncertain of faith, we are so glad and so thankful that you are a part of this community this morning. You need to hear these words too, because in these words, you'll get to hear and see what it would actually look like to follow Jesus. We want to be a community that shows you and teaches and helps you follow Jesus. We don't ever want to be a community that tries to trick you or cajole you or force you to believe something you don't believe. We don't want to say, come follow Jesus, we'll give you lots of candy or something like that. No, we'll give you candy either way. But in these words, you'll see what it would look like. So my prayer for you is, if you're not sure what you believe, that you would have greater clarity today after hearing these great words of Jesus, so that you might really know what it would look like to follow him. So let's dive into these words. And it's in the last chapter of Matthew, Matthew 28. And if you're following along with the Bible, it's Matthew 28, 16 to 20. And if not, the words are up there. And we'll start with verse 16. Now the 11 disciples, these are followers of Jesus, went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now, right before we get to the words out of the mission, I want us to look at that last sentence real quick. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Jesus is not someone who's a friend of ours who's giving us just advice, right? We all have those friends in our lives. Some of them give good advice. We have some of those dude friends who give us absolutely terrible advice, right? So often, it sometimes become easy, and even in one of the videos of someone getting baptized we're going to see, it can be easy to look at Jesus and say, let me take this piece, or let me take what I like about Jesus and leave what I don't like about him. And that becomes easy in our Christian faith sometimes. But the one who's giving us the mission today isn't just a friend, isn't just a buddy. He's someone who's claiming that he has all authority. So hear these words from the one who has authority. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Now, coming up with mission statements can be hard. It takes organizations years and lots of people and lots of man hours, but Jesus nails it here. Clear, concise. A couple short sentences. Some of you have had that task in your company ever, right? Jesus nails it. Now, if you look up there, there's 4 verbs that Jesus says. Well, there they are. Go, make disciples, baptizing, and teaching. Now, this isn't clear in the English, but it's a lot more evident in the original language. There's actually one main command up there, and then 3 verbs that help fill out how we're called to live out this command, how we're called to live out this mission. Now, trust me on that, and we'll move forward. The main command is to make disciples. And we're called to make those disciples by going and by baptizing and by teaching. So let's look together at make disciples first. Make disciples, in our day and age, after years and years of religion and religious culture, that word has this very religious connotation. We're called to go out and make disciples. In Jesus' day and age, it was a bit different. This is an educational term. It's a relational term. So when the followers heard this, they would have thought of kind of that mentor-mentee relationship. They would have thought of that apprentice. They would have had pictures of people living life together, talking through life, discussing things, figuring life out together. It would have been a very, very much relationships. Now it's interesting. He doesn't say words that we often associate with making disciples. Words like convert or win or convince or kind of prove. He doesn't use those words for one really simple reason, and it's because of what he just said about having authority. It's that he is the one who does those things. Jesus converts people. Jesus wins people. It's his Holy Spirit that transforms people. That is not our task. That is his task. If you're getting baptized today, it is not because someone here converted you. It's not here. You're not getting baptized today because someone convinced you or someone won you. You're getting baptized today because Jesus called you and his Spirit awakened you. And our task as his followers is not to convert. Our task is to be part of this process where we make disciples, where we're out in relationships with people, loving them and caring for them and showing them the grace of Christ. That's how we make disciples. So let's go to the next word. Go, therefore. The Christian church, his followers, are a go people. We're called to be going. Where are you going? Today, this week, this month. Among friends, among family, among coworkers, wherever you go, we're called to be a people that go out and reach out and love and care for the people around us. We're called to be in these relationships where we're intentionally trying to help people and show people God's love and show people God's grace. We are a go people. Now, you might be thinking, well, I'm not, that sounds really outgoing. Does anyone feel that? Some of you don't. Some of you are like, yeah, I am really outgoing. I love this. But a lot of you are not that way. It will look different for each of us. But that doesn't let you off the hook. All Christians, the whole Christian community, is called to go. We are a go people. This space we're in even right now is a go space. You might be thinking, oh, no, this is, you have built a church building. This is where you have your church service. And people come here once a week for their church service. No, if Christianity and if followers of Christ are go people, then everything we do, even down to the architect and the way we design space and the way we do things, is for the sake of going. This space right here was built not primarily for us, but for the people who we haven't met yet, who don't know Jesus yet. This is why we do things like the Park Cafe. Have you guys been hearing about this? Park Cafe is coming on Mondays in the future, right? It's happening? All right, yes. That's to be this kind of third space, this space where maybe you have friends who won't come here Sunday morning yet, but maybe they would come Monday nights to a place where they can sit down, have coffee, work on their computers, have talk with friends. This is a space where Tuesday we have the Exit 105 gamers, and Wednesday and Thursday we have the middle school students and high school students in here, and in the future we're going to have mothers of preschoolers and those preschoolers running around during the day here, because this is a go space. Because we're a go people, and we always want to be reaching out and going and showing people God's love. Let me give you an example of this. There's a few people in our community that are, they just nail this. We have three middle school students, Levi Bova, Christian Bova, and Jacob Wallace. They're wonderful at this. This is what they do. Every Wednesday, they bring a car packed, an SUV packed full of kids, to the middle school ministry. It's like one of those clown cars back in the day, right? That little Volkswagen buggy drives up, and then just one clown gets out, and then another clown gets out, and they're all 6'8". You're like, how do they do that? These kids, what it is they're go kids. They have friends at school. They invite them along. I've met a dozen of their friends in the last couple months, and they just bring them. They're like, hey, I'm going to this youth group. Hey, I'm going to this church. And each week they show up, and they pile out, and it's awesome. They shoot Nerf darts everywhere for an hour. At any given point, there's 6 or 7 Nerf darts hiding in this sanctuary. The middle school leaders, we spend probably 40% of our time in middle school ministry picking up Nerf darts. I just convinced someone to become a middle school leader, right? You're thinking to yourself, I love picking things up over and over and over again. You need a strong back for middle school ministry. So here's what's awesome, though. The other 60% of the time, we get to spend talking with middle school students, hanging out with them, eating dinner with them, playing games with them, and talking to them about life and talking to them about Jesus. And in that process, we're making disciples. And then a day like today happens where some of those kids choose to believe and follow Jesus, and we get to baptize them today. And it's all completely worth it. You guys should consider, despite how much you'll have to pick up Nerf darts, getting involved in the lives of young people in our community. Because that's a way you could be a go person and connect with people, and you'd get the joy to see kids come and be baptized. That leads us to the next verb up there, baptizing. So go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Today is a day we get to live out that calling. We get to see visibly in front of us people getting baptized. As we've been reaching out and going, Jesus has been working in that and calling people to himself and bringing people to them. And now that that's happened, that people have come, we want to celebrate and rejoice together. And that's what we're doing today. Now, don't take that for granted, that that's what a church does. It's so unfortunately possible and easy for the church to lose sight of its mission and to lose sight of the fact that we're called to be baptizing. A few months ago, the elders and the staff, we had kind of a summit meeting together, one of those awesome three-hour leadership meetings. I love long meetings. I do. I'm not making a joke. I enjoy those. You probably don't, so that's why you don't go to those meetings, but I do. We had a homework assignment, and we were just reading a short excerpt from a book about a man who had been a pastor for 30 years and was really cared a lot about the church and being a faithful church. And we were all just invited to give our reflections and our thoughts, and there was a lot to talk about. But this one small piece that he said, it struck me and it struck a bunch of people. He said, so often there are so many churches that he's new and that he'd worked with that for years no one would get baptized, no one would come to faith, and the whole church never saw a problem. Never said boo. But then all of a sudden, the church was in trouble financially and lost money. And all of a sudden, it was, oh, we have to go find and reach new people. We have to share our faith with new people. New people have to come to faith. I say that not to knock any particular church at all, but I say that to bring it up that we can lose sight. A couple of the elders picked that piece and said, this part breaks my heart, that we could ever be a church that would have nobody get baptized for years and no one would see a problem there. And that's why this is so important and why we have to remember days like this, because this is what we're about. We should give faithfully and use our resources wisely and give our money and our time for the sake of helping make disciples, for the sake of baptism. It shouldn't be the other way around that we think, oh, there's trouble, we need to get some more people baptized. No, but it is easier than you think for us to turn inward, for us to forget that. And we have to constantly remind ourselves of that, that this is our mission here, that helping people come to a place where they get baptized, that's the mission. There's one, another last one here, or a third one here, teaching. Baptize in the name of the Holy Spirit and teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. People who are getting baptized today, you will be called in the future to learn the faith in such a way that you will then be teaching others. We have this kind of constant task as people are gathered in, as they get baptized, that we build up, that we teach each other the faith so that we can go out and be sharing that faith. It's this constant cycle. It's this mission of the church that keeps on going and going. And this is the reason Christian and others spend so much time preparing and working hard on sermons. And we talk about sermon series and what do we need to teach next, because we're committed to doing all that we can to teaching this community all that we can about who Jesus is so that we can follow him better. This is why we have community groups, because we want to be teaching each other all things. We want people to be able to get together during the week. We want our whole community to be able to gather together, talk about the faith together, pray together, grow together, because this is part of the mission, so that we can know the faith well enough to be loving and sharing it with others. This is why we have a class like Being Christian, again, to teach the faith. This is why right now, Your children are in Park Kids. We have excellent children's ministry. And it's because it's part of the mission that God's given us. I tell people, and I know I work here, so it's like, oh, I should tell people you should come to the church because I work here, right? No. If I didn't work here, I'd send my kids here. I mean that. I've said that to people who've called and asked questions and people I've talked to. Because the Park Kids leaders, the staff, the 50, 60, 100 different volunteers that help out week in, week out, they are living out the mission of this church. They're doing all they can to teach your children the faith and to teach your sons and your daughters about Jesus. And if you're bored out of your mind in the sanctuary, you should still consider coming here because they do a good job teaching your children the faith. They do. And you should not be bored out of your mind here either. But all right, now you made me lose track. Let me take a look. Hold on. There's a final piece here I want to show you. We'll go to that last sentence. After he gives them the mission, he gives them this kind of last word that they absolutely need to hear. And if we don't get this word, we'll get it wrong, and we won't make it. We won't be able to live out the mission. And he says this, remember. And in the original language, it's more forceful than that. It's like, hey, guys, you need this. Remember this. No matter what, don't forget this. If you're going to get the mission right, remember this. I am with you. I'm with you sometimes when you get everything right. No. I'm with you when you stop doubting. No, he doesn't say that either. I am with you when you get all of your morality lined up the right way and when we can figure out the ethical issues and quagmires going on in the world today. When you get that figured out, then I'll be with you. I'm with you once you stop sinning, once you let go of all the bad things you've done, then I'll be with you. No. I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. Do you know where and when the ends of the ages are? I have no clue. No, there's some stuff in the Bible about that, yes. What I do know is that when we get there, that's where Jesus will be. There's a beautiful, beautiful psalm in the scriptures, and the psalms are a book of the Bible that they talk about. They're kind of the prayer book and the song book of the Bible, and it says this, where could we go from God's presence? If we ascended into heaven, he would be there with us. If we made our bed in hell, if we made our bed in Sheol or Hades still, he would be there. If we got up in the morning and set sail to the furthest limits of the sea, even there he would be there. Even there his right hand would guide us. If we said to the darkness, if we saw the darkness and saw it covering us, he would say, even the darkness is not night to me. And to him, the night shines bright as day. Followers of Jesus, this is the promise you get to lay hold of. When you decide to follow him, when you live in this mission, the promise he makes to us is that he will be with us always, even to the very ends of the age. And I hope you guys who are getting baptized can remember that part all the time, because he does not promise us that life will be easier or magically better or simpler when we follow him. Quite the opposite. He could send us anywhere. That's what the mission just said. He's going to tell us to go. He's going to tell us to baptize. He's going to give us the task of teaching. It will not be easier or simpler. The promise that you can always lay hold of is that he will be with you when you follow him. I want to look at one last thing. In this whole passage, there's a word that keeps popping up. He said to them, he has all authority. Go therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. He goes out of his way to mention God, all of God, Father, Son, Spirit, teaching them to obey everything, literally all the things. And remember, I'm with you always. All. The invitation to follow Jesus, it's an all-in invitation. So I want to leave us with a few questions. What would it look like for you to be all-in on God's mission to make disciples? What would it look like for the Park Church community, for us, to be all in, to think about all of our time and all of our resources and all of our gifts and all of our talents collectively and think, how can we be all into this mission, to what God's made us for? At the end of our life, at the end of our life of the park community, at the end of our own lives, we're given this certain amount of years. We can look back at it and say, oh yeah, I was a Christian. I tried to follow Jesus sometimes and things like that. Or can we look back and say, I heard God's mission. He called me and I followed. And I was all in on that. I gave my life for God's mission of making disciples. So what would that look like for you? What would that look like for us? Let that question sit with you. Let that question stay with you as we consider what it means to live out God's mission and follow him. Let's pray and then let's do some baptizing. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for each good day that you give us. We thank you for calling this community into being. We thank you for each person you've called here. I thank you for the 8 people that are going to be baptized now. Pray that they would be filled with your Holy Spirit, with your power, with your love, with your grace. And I pray that this would be a day that ignites us again, that sparks us again, that reinvigorates us to keep living out your mission. Lord, make us a people that make disciples. Make us a people that go, that baptize, and that teach. And God, let us run freely and joyfully, knowing that every step of the way, that you will be with us always. It's in your name we pray. Amen.